Are you happy in the Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's good to us, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thankful that we know it and grateful for it. And I'm, you know, as it says there, and you can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 while we're talking. But, we want to make sure that the Spirit's speaking. Amen. By his grace. But we are thankful that we are his workmanship. Amen. And the rest and the peace, the joy, that we know that it's his hands, it's his will, it's his might, it's his love, his grace, his mercy. It's just him. And he's all in all. And we just rest in that. Isn't it wonderful? And that's what he wants us to do, is to cease from our own works, as the Word of God says, and enter into the very rest of the Father, just as the Father saw that everything was good because it was all in his Son's hands. That his Son had it. The whole plan was in his Son. And, you know, I think that as, you know, oftentimes I'm thankful. I praise God for my Father. I thank my Father and all that. But he wants me to be about his Son. He wants me to praise his Son. And it's not this, you know, combating thing between the Father and the Son or anything of that nature. But he placed everything in his Son. And he wants me to worship Jesus. Amen. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear ones just go on and on about the Father and God and all these things. And but I'm grateful to God that the Father continues to point everything to his Son. And that we are his Son's workmanship, the very hands of his beautiful Son. The ones that we are written, even engraved in his hands. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? How he loves us. Praise his name. But we are his workmanship. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us that we are God's building. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. We're God's building. So wonderful. We are his and his alone. I am thankful to God that I'm and you, that precious blood, we are bought with a price, that precious blood of Jesus. And we're not just a building, but we're even a temple of the Lord, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Truly then, vessels prepared afore unto glory. Wonderful, amen? People always ask, well, what is my purpose? Oh, my goodness, read the Word of God, would you please? Vessel prepared unto glory. And then to think that we're wonderfully and fearfully made in all of that as well, too. But here it is, and it says it so sweetly here in Ephesians 2. And let's begin reading from the 19th verse. Now, therefore, I love that, now. Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, so many glorious things in that text, but the beauty that the prophets, the apostles, the entire Word of God, think of it this way, the message of the full overcomer in the Old Testament and the message of the full overcomer in the New Testament, it's to us. All of it. Praise be to God, we really do have it all. We have it all. That building of and on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have it all. And that's exactly what built and builded means. It means builded upon. And we are on the foundation that we know is Jesus. And as the Word of God talks about this building, it means a body, meaning a physical body as well too, that we are the joints of the body, of his body. And praise God, that body is fully supplied by one head, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what a masterpiece of grace. Absolute grace. Again, all the supplying, all the building, everything he has done. And what a masterpiece of grace in the building, in those that will yield, those that will yield to all what the prophets and the apostles have spoken. All of it. And we need to heed to all the word of God. Amen. And thankful that the Lord gives us a panting for the word, that we desire and delight in the word of God. Now, go on over to Acts, and this is very familiar, and thankfully a verse we know. And it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And again, it's interesting, and now, isn't that wonderful? How the Lord is always quickening in that passion. This isn't for a later time. This isn't, well, let's think about it. It's right now. It's right now. Be ready now. Not get ready. Be ready now. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And once again, remember, these are to the Ephesian elders. These are ones that, praise the Lord, are walking in Paul's gospel and loving and rejoicing in that precious truth. And Paul, again, what his commendation to them is to more of the word of his grace and to stay in it and to don't stray from it and to, again, just stand, as we've been encouraged as of late, stand on the wall. Praise God. It's for us and we're built upon it. Now, Jude 1:20 is so direct of how this happens, how this transformation, this building occurs in our life with the word of his grace. We understand that, that's what does it. But I think that in chapter 1, verse 20, it is so direct in giving us instruction in this. It says there in verse 20, but ye, beloved, and isn't that, again, but now, but ye? I love that. It's right now and it's you. It's not for later or talking to somebody else. It's you. It's so personal, and this gets so intimate when we'll go without the camp and go unto him without the camp. But it says, but ye, beloved, again, the bridal talk, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some of the two most precious verses in the word of God. I am so grateful for this, and this has encouraged me in times when I could find no encouragement. This precious mercy quickened my heart. But here you go. You have the key of this building up. You have it all right here, because that key is building up yourselves on the most and your most holy faith. See how personal, again, this faith is. This message, it's a proposal. It's like a one-on-one. It's yours. And I thank the Lord for that. And as we build upon that and allow that to be built up in our lives, notice again, it's the most holy, the most sanctified, the most set apart faith. Again, this encouragement on into Paul's gospel. And then praying in the Holy Ghost. So what we have here is faith in the Spirit always takes us to one and only one place, and that's love and true love and in love. And that's what spirit and truth is. That's what truth in love doctrine is all about. And when we have ourselves, by the grace of God, in that surrendering, and really it is surrendering. I was speaking to a brother today and going through some difficult things, and sometimes we get so caught up into what we think one great trial or this failure in our life is, and we get just affixed on it. And we don't realize that we need a humbling in everything in our life, because God gives grace to the humble. And oftentimes we just think that, you know, we can be so struck with one failure that failure almost becomes an idol, and it almost becomes something that, again, we think, well, that failure makes me humble. And you don't realize you have all of these other parts of your lives, and you can still be proud, yet such a failure. Does that make sense? And I was trying to get through to him, because I know what the Lord has allowed me to discern in some things. Because you know what? I've been there, and I go there at times. We need to be surrendered in every bit of our life. And in that lowliness, God gives grace to the humble. And can you imagine that all-powerful grace that he gives you in that humility that might be in another part of your life that you surrendered? Could you imagine that he'd use that same grace that he gave you to overcome that other part of your life? Amen. Don't get affixed just on one thing. Just get affixed on him and believe in the Lord. But, you know, oftentimes we do. Pride can be such a subtle thing, and it's such a destructive thing in our lives. And none of us, are up in a sense apart from it, or that it couldn't strike us at any time. It's something we always need to fight the good fight of faith upon. And I ask for your prayers in that, and I pray for you in that. We need to pray for one another, because pride sets us afar off from God. And we can be proud in our failure. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have success to be prideful. You could be proud and rich. You can be proud and poor. You can be proud in anything. But let's let God be our head. And I'll tell you what, there's a privilege and a rejoicing to just get low. Hallelujah. So we thank God in it. Amen. But here we go, and it does. It says, but see, we build ourselves up. That building occurs when we just go on in that most set apart faith. Isn't that sweet? And praying in the Holy Ghost. I love when it's that specific. You know, you can't argue about that, can you? You want that built up in your life? But here you go. Don't give me excuses why. Don't tell me why you're different or your walk is this way or that way. I'm looking right here. And I thank the Lord because this precious brother was encouraged by another precious brother who happened to get the dispensation. And this is Paul's gospel encouragement here. And his brother Paul encouraged, preach no other gospel. Amen. Preach no other gospel. And this is that most holy faith he's speaking of here. Stay in the truth. Stay in all truth. Stay in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus truth. And then praying in the Holy Ghost. As Brother Paul said, I am glad I speak more than ye all. It wasn't a competition thing. He was just glad. And he was encouraging those to come along. I love how the Word of God even says, you know, there was a praise in the Word of God that one that had been instructed in the truth, he said, I have even surpassed my instructors. Yeah, can you imagine that? Now, it's not that we're, again, comparing ourselves or competing. But by the grace of God as a teacher, you know the greatest thing as a teacher, if you truly are the right teacher of heart, you would want your student to even surpass what you have taught them. Amen? Isn't that the truth, by the grace of God? I mean, as parents, we're teachers. And I don't know, I know with my sons, I don't want my sons to be like me. I want my sons to be beyond me. And beyond me, and beyond and beyond. That's, and it's not a comparison thing, but just because you love them, amen? It's because of love. And a true teacher loves. A true teacher is not going to teach you because they're so brilliant. I had those kind of teachers. I told my sons, I figured it out in my last year of grad school in college. I didn't buy one book, and that's the absolute truth. I got straight A's, and you know how? I wrote down everything they said and just bleh, 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 bleh. That's the truth. Because they were so high and mighty as their teacher that they were all authority. Teaching is a sharing of that instruction, and there is. It's narrow, and there's precise, and we're so grateful that that is the mark for the prize. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Brother Paul so sweetly gives that to us. But this brother here, he gives it right. And there is no doubt that these two things, truth and love. But then in reading that, and we'll kind of settle in here tonight. And we'll move along. But he placed me in spirit in the building of the temple in 1 Kings. And I had read this a couple different times. Was even encouraged in a little scripture in one of my daily readings as well too. But over in 1 Kings, I love this. It's speaking to us, praise God. Well, it's speaking of the temple, but what this is speaking is, this is speaking to us through the prophets of the place for us who believe. This is giving us type and shadow of the very precious stones that we are constructed, just like the precious stones that were used to basically build the temple. And I love how the Lord will say here, he says the temple or the house. I'm thankful to God for the worship, but it's also such a, it's a cozy place. You know, it's just, it's your home. Ah, it's my house. Hallelujah. And there's a sweetness in that. But in 1 Kings, going over to chapter 5, and let's read 17 and 18. And I believe the Lord will encourage us here as he brings this all together. And in chapter 5 of 1 Kings 17, it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, huge stones, to lay the foundation of the house." So this was when they're building the temple. Solomon was building it. "And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone quarters. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house." This is really beautiful here. If you think about, here's this building, this majestic, again, honor to the Lord. And again, this is type and shadow of the bride that's being built at this time for him. And it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought great stones." I'll give you a little bit of something to chew on as we just rejoice in this over the next few hours. Maybe even we can't go to sleep tonight and have to think about it all night long. But it says those great stones. Great means costly. It also means mature. Isn't that interesting? Those stones, they were costly, but they were mature. It's wonderful. It's beautiful, and of price. And then costly stones. That word costly means glorious, rare, a prize. Now, what's beautiful about the huge stone? We understand that these stones will be cut, but they had to be prized stones. These choice stones that not would be cut, but that could be cut. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's right there, but we need to be a willing vessel. Amen? By the grace of God, to have that bended knee. Have all the potential, but without yielding. By the grace of God, it'll never work effectually in them that believe. Without that yielded and that bended knee, that transformation by the grace of God is not going to happen. But it's so beautiful because then it says, "And Solomon's builders," the king's builders. And I love Solomon. See, his name means peace. And then Hiram's buildings means noble. So you got peace, you got noble. We'll talk about this here in just a minute. And the stone quarters, that means boundaries. It had precise dimensions. It had to be exact. And I love that. So again, you have peace, you have nobility, and you have these boundaries that had to be exact. Now, think of those stones, again, that were sought out for this building of the temple. Now go on over to chapter 6, verse 7, and we'll read about the house, the temple of God. "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone," these stones we talked about, "made ready before." Isn't that a wonderful expression? Made ready before. Ready before means complete. Ready before means perfect. Ready before means full. And ready before means at peace. It knows it's ready. Wonderful, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like a readied wife? Amen? It's very descriptive because it's the same thing. This is, again, not speaking of a house made with hands. This is made with the love and truth of God. And so it says, "And in the house when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before. It was brought thither," I love that, "it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." Amen. That's beautiful stuff, isn't it? Wonderful. Praise the Lord. But built of stone made ready. It's just like the city, the bride adorned, the New Jerusalem. She's built from stone made ready. You'll read about her there as we get into the end of Revelation. But it's marvelous. How wonderful that we know, brothers and sisters, that this is going on right now. This is what's going on right now. And God help us to always be huge stones, meaning cuttable, pliable, and to order, in order to be cut perfectly, need to be still for absolute perfection. Amen? Amen. So, you know, God encourage us in this. So, as we conclude this, by the grace of God, think about it. And by the grace of God, may we rejoice what we were made. What we were made. As we began today, vessels prepared afore unto glory. See, what we were made all precious stones. And those precious stones, they're made. Once again, you think about how these precious stones are made. They're made by heat and pressure and stress. You're going to have stress, but it's just like, you know, they'll tell you, it's how you deal with stress. You're going to have trials, but it's just going to be, how do you deal with trials? Not naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking. How do we deal with it? How do I deal with it? I give it to God. How do I give it to God? I go into the Word of God. How the Spirit to let this ear hear and to speak to me and to tell me the things that are true as opposed to the lies that not only I might be hearing, but the lies that I'm feeling. Amen. Remember as we said today is that And it was so true, and it really hurt my heart that somehow, some way, that the old nature is going to die as we really run and run well. No. The old nature is going to be alive and well. It's a battle. It's a fight. That's it. You are going to have two natures till you see them. And that's the joy of the Lord. That's the beauty of how, again, how powerful the grace of God is. The most weakened vessel, but yet Christ in me, the hope of all glory. Right there. All the fullness readied. Hallelujah. And to be filled with that. To continue to fight by the grace of God. And to know, hallelujah, man needs to know how to possess his own vessel. By the grace of God, yielding to truth. Yielding to the truth, not lie. So, we are made these precious stones. Made from heat and pressure and stress. Formed. And even when a precious stone is made, then yes, we know. It has to be cut. Amen? It has to be polished. It has to be sanded to absolute perfection, as it's speaking here of, in its place. Now, as we close this up, I want you to think about what we read there in that 18th verse about who they brought those stones in that were able to be cut and all of this. And who were the cutters? They were Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the stone quarters. I love this. So if you think about it again, I said noble, peace, and boundary. So you have the ones that are going to cut on you. That nobility is going to be for that ruling and reigning. Is to take that place as the queen with the king. So there's your nobility. And then you think of peace. There's a perfect peace in that. Amen? And you know it. When you know, as we've been encouraged and are encouraging more and more, is, you know, the Lord's just showing us things. And brothers and sisters, as the Lord shows us things, this isn't to get haughty or puffed up in knowledge. It's to be edifying in the love of God. That's the beauty of what's going on in our Revelation study. It's the love of God. Know that. I'm thankful for what he's showing. But what he's showing is his love. And that's what was so beautiful is that, you know, when I understand that ancient wedding, it was a contract, a consummation, then a celebration. And praise God, that contract is marriage. And he's given us that. And when you really can see that in the Word of God, that he has given you that in Paul's gospel, that it's hold that fast which thou hast. I've got that. I don't need to work for that. I don't need to wrestle for that. I don't want to be a Jacob that wrestles for something from God that was less than what God had already given him. Know that story. Isn't that just ridiculous? Well, that's not even to be compared with bridal saints that think we need to wrestle something out of God. Like I said about the thought that somehow our old nature, that's just going to die. Now, again, I'm not magnifying that, again, that we sin willfully that grace may abound. But we have to recognize and thank the Lord for the beauty, hallelujah, of the good fight of faith. When I see him and I'm like him, there'll be no more faith. But faith pleases God. And this fight is what pleases God. This yielding, praise the Lord. He'll increase in our lives to where that old nature doesn't reign. That's the difference. And don't confuse that with the old man. The old man is dead. That old thing is dead. It's just a carcass. And I recognize that, and I live into the newness, that new man, then praise God, that old nature, it doesn't really have a chance. I'm just too occupied with the new man. Thank you, Lord. So, we have, again, these three cutters. We've got that noble, the queen, the perfect peace, and finally, that boundary, which means the stone quarters. It's this perfect cut, and you think about, to the measure, the fullness, the stature of Christ. How does that happen in our lives? It's through suffering, isn't it? Praise God. That's the cutting, that suffering together with him. And it's so beautiful that it's a perfect cut. And that's her. That's exactly who she is. And in that, I'm going to end with a little testimony. It was very sweet. Brother Juan, who comes to church, he is a master stonemason. I don't know if you really know that. But God has graced him. Young man that didn't have a thing, but was still and was quiet. And he learned art. And he learned the art of stones. And he knew that we were thinking about maybe doing a fireplace in a home. And he says, Pastor, I would love, if I had the opportunity, if you would contract me to build you a fireplace. And I said, there wouldn't be anybody else I'd want to, you know. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I've seen pictures of his stuff. And I mean, fantastic and amazing things and all. And we have I thank God, a fine home, but it's a home. It's our home. And it's God's house, and I thank the Lord for that. But he was telling me about these different ways he could build it, and he said, you know, we could use grout, and we could use mortar, but he said, I really want to do the best work for you. And he said, it's called a dry stack. And I said, well, what's a dry stack? And he showed me a picture of it, and I said, my goodness, there's no mortar, there's no grout, there's no nothing, and those stones, they're cut so perfectly. I said, do you just kind of buy this set and you stick them in there? And he starts laughing at me because I was ignorant to it. He said, oh, no, we cut them. We cut them perfectly. And he said, I'm going to go out and buy this stone. And he bought these huge pieces of stone. And he brought them all in the backyard. And he drew his picture that it was just perfect of what he wanted where we have this wall and around the fireplace. And so he would go out and he would cut those stones outside completely perfect. He'd come back in, he'd look at it, and when it was absolutely right, he'd bring it in and he'd set it in its place. And I'm talking about thick cuts and angled cuts and everything. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there isn't one stitch of grout or mortar. And my ceiling in that area is it's about 20 feet high. And each of them stones, I'm telling you, just like this, just stacked perfectly. The lines are cut perfectly. Everything sits absolutely in harmony, set in its place. And again, as the Lord witnessed to me as he was doing this, he cut them perfectly before they ever got in the house. And I thought, my goodness. And then it's the masterpiece of my home. I have lots of beautiful things in my home, but in a sense, it really is the masterpiece of my home. And you know what about that fireplace? It don't go out. It can't go out. You know, it's just like the Philadelphia pillar. It doesn't go out no more. He shall go no more out. And I was thinking, Lord, that's truly a vessel for the master's use. Amen. Praise God. Let him cut you. Amen. And he's doing a fine job. Vessels prepared for unto glory. Why would you not want that best place? Amen. Praise God. Love you. It's been a good day. It's always a good day in the Lord. We just be happy in him. And boy, with the riches untold that he's given us, why would we not be content? Amen. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.